Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to take a text this morning, it's verse 14 of that portion of Scripture. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for the wonderful blessings that are provided for us in Christ. We thank the Lord for the fact that He never leaves us lonely. Whispers, oh, so fine. We thank the Lord for all Thy mercies and Thy grace that are given to us today. Help us as we come to Thy Word. Speak to us in it, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. As a minister, you get many questions that people ask about the Scriptures and the things of God. And we try to answer those as honestly and as forthrightly as we can. Sometimes you can't answer the question because there are things about the Lord and things about the things of God that are beyond our comprehension. We are finite in our understanding and God is infinite. But there are many times, of course, when you can get the answer by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And as you look into the Word of God, thank God, it's a compendium of truth. And it brings us so many understandings. It brings us so much wisdom and directs us in the ways that we should go. Now, I say that because the subject of our sermon today, the message that we want to bring, was prompted by a question that I was asked many years ago. And the question was this: on what scriptural grounds should peace be broken and separation is the only outcome? And that was a very interesting question because it was an indication of the fact that the person that was asking the question had thought very deeply about the scriptural doctrine of separation. And he had noticed, the person that asked the question, the tension that there is in that text of Scripture between peace and holiness. And the questioner had identified that there are times when perhaps it is required of us to separate. And by separating, by holding the line of holiness, by separating from something or someone, there's often a breach of peace. We breach the peace that is between two people, or we breach the peace that has prevailed in a certain situation. On the other hand, if having peace with other people is the most prominent thing, then we may get into the place where in order to hold on to that peace, we may be in the danger of compromising our holiness. So this is an important subject, and it's a very practical subject. And I think perhaps we can see how practical it is if I bring to you certain practical situations in which the subject of this verse would be brought to bear. For example, let me bring to you the situation of a neighbour of yours, a friend of yours, who is a Roman Catholic, or perhaps a Unitarian. Now, in normal circumstances, you're perfectly willing and happy to have friendly relationships with that person, and there's a peace that prevails. You'll help them along, and they'll help you along. Perhaps your neighbours and their instances when you help them and they help you, and even there are situations in which you're able to pass on a word in the gospel to that person. But there comes a day when a relative, a friend, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife of that person dies, and you're under pressure to go to the funeral. Normal circumstances, there's no way you'd go to a Roman Catholic church. You wouldn't go there. You wouldn't go into a Unitarian service. No way that you would compromise the gospel in doing that. But you're under pressure because of the friendship, and because there's going to be a breach of peace. And you feel that there's a great pressure upon you to go along the road of peace rather than go along the road of holiness. Now, what do you do in that situation? Well, I think we'll see it's clear what we should do as we go along. But let's take another example. You're invited to a wedding. And at the wedding, there's going to be an evening dance at the end, and you know that dancing is lewd behavior, and it's no place for a Christian, and in normal circumstances there's no way that you would be found at a dance. But you know that perhaps it will cause offense if you leave the reception, and maybe you feel that some way it will cause offense to the bride or the groom or to the family. And should you then keep peace with people, or should you follow the line of holiness? Again, the tension that there is in this text comes down, and we see the practicalities of what is said in this text of Scripture. Or perhaps you could think of another situation where there's another brother who holds to another line of baptism. He has a very strong view, and you have a very strong view. And maybe it's a view over the Lord's coming, the second coming. You are a premillennialist and he's an amillennialist. Should you separate from your brother over that? Now, it's an important doctrine as far as you're concerned. These things are very important as far as you're concerned. That other brother, that other sister is an error. But should you actually separate from them over those things? Now, when I give you examples like that, I want you to see that we are dealing with very practical problems that are faced in our lives and faced in the church. There are some people who are so concerned about following a strict line that they will separate from anybody. You know, you've often heard of the fighting fundamentalists. And some of the fundamentalists of the past have kept so strictly that unless you agree with me wholeheartedly on everything, I'm going to separate from you and I'll fight with you. On the other hand, we have those in the church today who are so lax and liberal that they will take a stand on nothing. And they will allow anybody to come, and they will hold fellowship with anybody in any situation, and there is no line of holiness. Where does the line lie? Where should we draw the line as far as these things are concerned? Now, that is where our text answers the question. And I hope that as we look at these things today, that it will help to answer the question for us, and it will save us a lot of heartache and debating over these things, and a lot of toil and a lot of debate and a lot of soul searching as we wonder what we should do. Should we go here? Should we go there? Should we do this? Should we do that? The apostle here answers the question. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There are a number of things in this text of Scripture that we want to see, I think, will answer a lot of situations for us, practically speaking. The first thing I want you to see here is the peace we should display. He says, follow peace with all men. Now, that's something that is very clear and forthright here. We should be at peace with people. We should seek to avoid situations of strife, situations that we get ourselves into where we draw hatred upon ourselves or displeasure upon ourselves. We should do what we can to follow peace with all men. Now, I want you to realize the difficulty of that in the situation that the people who were written to in the Epistle of Hebrews would have been in. These people were Jews. Now, these two people had come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and as a result, they had stirred up the hatred of the other Jews. In fact, they had stirred that hatred into a frenzy, and there was a determined opposition against them. These Jews would not let up. They did everything to try and bring these Jews back into the fold of Judaism again. They scorned them. They mocked them. They despitefully used them. They did everything behind their back in order to carry on a relentless campaign of persecution against those that had become Christians. Now, you can well imagine in that situation how hard it would have been to follow peace with these people. The natural reaction was to get your own back. The natural reaction would have been to do what you could to get back at these people who were persecuting you and despitefully using and scorning you. How easy it would have been to develop a bitter spirit. But the writer to the Epistle of the Hebrews says, no, don't develop a bitter spirit. No matter whether you're in the right and they're in the wrong, do not be bitter. Follow peace with all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now I want you to notice the focus of this peace. It says it is with all men. Now of course that includes everybody. It includes our brethren and sisters. We should live at peace with our brethren and sisters. We should not be fighting with them. Now I know that there are those that hold perhaps to dispensational views who are so adamant in their dispensational views that they would not hold fellowship with others who do not, those that believe in the secret rapture, and they would not like those that do not hold to the secret rapture. And there are those, particularly of the closer brethren assemblies, who would not even break bread with those who are their brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we do not go down the whole line with them. There are those that are Baptist, and they would not hold with us because of those in our midst who hold to the baptism of believers' children. On the other hand, there are those of the Reformed camp who would not hold with us and would not have fellowship with us because we allow believers' baptism, or because we preach the free offer of the gospel, or because we have testimonies or special singing in our service. But men, women, are those things that we should separate over? They are things that are important. They are vitally important. There are things that we should look into God's Word and we should discern what is the right way over. But we shouldn't separate over them. There are issues that are first line important and there are things that are secondary. Now, I'm not saying that they're unimportant, but we know that the Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, those that are so adamant about different doctrines, that they will push those things until there is a breach with their brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, do not do that. He says, follow peace with all men. Particularly follow peace with your brethren. And then you're to follow peace with your neighbors. That is particularly so with our families. Now I know there are times that because of the offense of the cross, our families will not hold with us. There are things that we have to do, there are stands that we have to take as far as our family is concerned. We cannot compromise the gospel. We'll come on to that in a wee minute. But as much as lies within us, we should live at peace with our families. Now I think of that situation with the funeral there, with the Roman Catholic or the Unitarian. We cannot go to a Mass. We cannot go into a Unitarian service. Otherwise, we're compromising the very heart of the gospel. We cannot go and take part with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or any of these that deny the fundamental doctrines of the gospel. But you could go to their home. You could go along to the funeral and not go to the church. You could make every effort that you can. It says, live, follow peace with all men. Now there is an offense of the gospel. And there are times when because we are Christians, the world will hate us. But we should make sure that we are not those that are committing the offense in and of ourselves. We should follow peace with all men. Not only do we notice the focus of the peace, but notice the force of the peace. The word follow there is a word that speaks of a hunter in pursuit. It speaks of the hunter who tracks the footsteps of the prey over hill and dale and over dangerous ridge and along the river and through the glen. He follows the prey. The Lord says here, follow peace like that. It's not just that you follow it if somebody doesn't irritate you. It isn't that you live at peace with people as long as they don't do anything on you. But you follow it like a hunter. You track it down. You make sure that if there is offense given, that you try to make the offense right. And that is particularly so with our brethren. If there is an offense between you and another brother, make sure, another sister, make sure that you do all that you can to make that offense right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. That's what the Lord wants. Preserve peace. Keep peace amongst yourselves and with those around about you. So there's the peace that we should display. Let's turn over the coin now and let's look at the purity we should demonstrate. Because it doesn't only say that we are to follow peace, but we are to follow holiness. Now today we find people who profess to be Christians, and you get them in the nightclubs, and you get them in the drinking dens, and you get them in all sorts of places. And very often if you challenge them, one of the excuses that they will make is that they are seeking to win others who are in those places. I remember the chairman of what they call the Meth Sock in Aston University when I was there, the Methodist Society. Came to be a Christian, came to be a person who followed the Lord, but every time you found him, he was in the nightclub. He used to carry a knife down his sock as well. I don't know what he was going to do with the knife that he had down his sock. A most peculiar character. But he was a person that proclaimed that he was a Christian. And he was found in the drinking dens, and that was his excuse. Really, what he was saying was, we follow peace with everybody, we try to get friendly with everybody, and by that method, we will try to get round them. And that is proposed today as a method of evangelism, being friendly with people and going along with them and not antagonizing them in any way, and that is part of it. But you cannot follow peace at the expense of holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness. Now, I want you to think about the importance of holiness, men and women, today. Because that is something that is emphasized time and time again in the Bible. The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And holiness, what is holiness? Holiness is Christ-likeness. It's being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus went in and had fellowship with publicans and sinners, but he didn't go to their haunts. He didn't go and join in with their sin. He didn't do what they did, and he didn't get involved in their sinful activities. He certainly went alongside them. He certainly put an arm around them. He certainly sought to live at peace with them, but not at the compromise of holiness. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 there, if you look at verse 10, it says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, speaking of our fathers, but he, speaking of God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Where does holiness come from? It comes from our communion with Christ. The closer you are, men and women, to the Lord, the more you read his word, the more you draw nigh to him in the place of prayer, so the more holiness you will, or more holy you will become. You know, some people think of holiness as a series of do's and don'ts. Well, there is part of that in it. But holiness consists of being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. I am the great example. Now what an example. We can, of course, we can never in our own selves draw nigh to God and be holy like the Lord is, but we should always walk as close to God as we can possibly get. And that, men and women, is holiness. That's the positive side. But there is a negative side to it. Holiness is the opposite to uncleanness. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7 says, For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So in order to be holy, you must avoid uncleanness. There is the idea of separation. God called his Old Testament people, his Old Testament church, to separate from the heathen. We think of the great command to the Corinthians, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing. So men, women, there are things that we are to avoid. There are things that we're to stay separate from. There are places that we should not go. There are things that we should not do. Now I know that message is unpopular. But we need to stand away from the false worship of today. That's why we can't go to that funeral. That's why we can't indulge in that false worship. We can't be involved in idolatry. We can't be involved in false worship. We can't be involved with the apostasy of this day and generation. That's why we need to separate at certain particular times. That is why you need to stay away from those that are preaching a false gospel, because of holiness. Now, there are a whole lot of people in the apostate denominations of today, and for the sake of peace to stay in. But the other side of the peace that we're to follow is holiness. And there is a line. There is a time when the gospel has been denied, when Christ has been denied, and when the very fundamentals of the faith are denied. That is the time when you separate. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we see the importance of holiness. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. But also you notice the balance of holiness. There's a balance there between peace and holiness. Now the problem is where we're going to draw the line. And of course with every situation you're going to have to draw the line by yourself. But you know, today we need to make sure that we're drawing the line properly. You make sure that you are not in any way compromising the gospel by what you do. And that you're not defiling yourself by what you do. The old commentator John Brown declared, and I quote, "It is infinitely better to have the whole world for our enemies and God for our friend than to have the whole world for our friend and God for our enemy." And I think that where the debate is, you err on the side of holiness. Where the line is debatable, you err on the side of holiness. Because it is better to be a friend of God than to be the friend of men. So often the line is drawn today on the side of man, following peace with man. But we follow peace with man and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. But coming down to those practical problems, do we separate over baptism? Do we separate over what we believe about the second coming? If one holds a very important doctrine and the other holds a very important a doctrine is very important, do we separate? No, brethren, I don't think we do. Now, of course, there are different degrees of fellowship. Maybe there are times when I can't fellowship with my brother because he holds to, he's a dispensationalist and I'm reformed. Maybe there are times when there is a slight separation. But as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the great things are concerned, no, I don't. I can have fellowship with my brother. I can have fellowship of those of like precious faith. I can have fellowship with them. Now, sometimes my fellowship may be impaired because of different things. But we should have that fellowship one with another. It is good and blessed for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, we notice that there is a peace that should be displayed and a purity that should be demonstrated. But then I want you to notice something else. There's a presence that should be delighted in. Look at what he says in our text. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And then what does he say? Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now the verse is stated in the negative way, but we can put it in the positive. It's really saying if you follow peace and if you follow holiness, then you will see the Lord. What does he mean by seeing the Lord? Well, I think perhaps it is a reference, first of all, to our final destiny. You see, when we are saved, we will go to be with Christ in the end, and we will be with him forever and forever. But you notice that it is only those that follow the attributes of peace and holiness that he says will do that. Is that salvation by works? No, it is not. What it is that if you are really saved, if you're really born again, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, then these are things that will be seen in your life. You will follow peace with others. And you will follow holiness. You'll seek to follow God day by day. You will seek to show the fruit of blessedness in your life. You'll seek to get rid of selfishness. And if self is number one in your life, and if fleshly desires are number one in your life, and then, women, young people, you've got to question your salvation. Are you saved? Because if we are not following peace with all men and holiness, then the text seems to imply that we will not see the Lord. Now, that is something to be worried about. That's something that you should think about. If there is no holiness in your life, there's no desire for the place of prayer, if there's no desire for God's word, are you saved? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But not only is there a reference to our final destiny, but there is a reference to fullness of joy. Because not only does the child of God see the Lord when we go to heaven, but we can see Him now by the mind's eye in the fullness of joy that we have as we walk with Him day by day, as we fellowship with Him. There is fullness of joy. Now that joy is only full if we're walking the path of holiness, if we're walking with God, if we're seeking to follow Him. The fullness of joy comes as we are walking hand in hand with Him day by day. The more you draw nigh to God, the more peace you'll have, the more joy you'll have, the more blessing you'll have. But you can't have the peace and you can't have the presence of God in that fullness of fashion if you do not follow peace and you do not follow holiness. And God, those that are regenerate, those that are saved, those that are born again of the Spirit of God, we do have a peace. We do have a joy. We do have a blessing in our hearts. Now those of you that are not saved, you can never know that. You can never know that blessing, because without peace that God gives, without the holiness that is bestowed in the heart of those that are saved, it says you cannot see God. No man, no man, no man shall see the Lord. You will not see the Lord. You are not going to heaven. If something was to happen today and you were to go out of this scene of time, it would be absent from the body and in hell. In hell, men and women. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. And you cannot follow peace and you cannot follow holiness until your heart has been saved and you are regenerated by the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women, we need to follow what God has laid down in His Word. C.H. Spurgeon, speaking on this text of Scripture, said, follow peace. But then he said, let the following of it be guarded by the other precept, holiness. With equal order, we are to follow holiness. And then he said that some who have aimed at holiness have made the great mistake of supposing it needful to be morose, fault-finding, and censorious with everybody else. Their holiness consisted of negatives, protests, and opposition for opposition's sake. Their religion lies in contrarieties and singularities. To them the text offers the wise counsel, follow holiness, but also peace. And if there has anything of that got into your heart, and I think that if we examine our hearts, perhaps we can see sometimes that we become censorious, we become holier than thou. We're not holier than anybody else. It's only the Lord that has done it for us. And he says that if that attitude has got into your heart, he says, follow peace. Let a little bit of the peace of God enter into your heart. But then Spurgeon went on, and he spoke of the other side of the coin. Follow peace, but not at the expense of holiness. Follow holiness, but do not needlessly endanger peace. So there you have the balance, men and women. You have peace, and we're to follow peace with men and women. But never do that at the expense of holiness. If there's a denial of God, if there are people who are trying to draw you into the world, and into worldly behavior, and into worldly things, he says, follow holiness. But men and women outside of Christ, you can never do that. You'll never see the Lord until you get right with Him. Until you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Until your heart has been changed by the power of God. You'll never follow peace and you'll never follow holiness until God has redeemed your soul. And if you're not saved today, you come and put your trust in Him. For if you're not saved, men and women, make sure of it. You can never see the Lord. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the great balances that are given in the word of God. We thank Thee we're to follow peace and we're to follow holiness. We're to follow holiness, but we're to follow peace. And we pray, gracious God, that with the wisdom of God, that we might draw the line in our lives. Lord, that we might walk as God would have us to walk. Lord, that we'll not be disputed where we shouldn't be disputing. But Lord, that we'll never shut our mouth when our mouths need to be open. And so, gracious God, speak on now and draw us near to Thee. And O God, we'd ask Thee that every one of us may see the Lord. That at the end we will draw nigh to God and we'll be in the presence of God for all eternity. Bless Thy word and write it upon our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen.